I definitely believe in what we're doing. It's a very special ministry. We were called by God to help the poorest of the poor. Since our inception in 2001, we have provided $4.8 billion worth of aid in over 90 countries. And how do we do that is just the best model. We come alongside existing bishops and priests and sisters and lay missionaries all around the world who are working alongside the poorest of the poor, and we help them to provide housing. Can you imagine not having a roof over your head or water? I was just in Kenya walking miles on a dry riverbed digging for water with the women there, or education, or helping vulnerable children, or microfinance. And we help with the most urgent needs that they see as needed in their community. And through that, people across the United States have provided $4.8 billion. I can't even fathom how many lives that has touched. I know. And it's a unique model, right, of coming alongside these beautiful leaders. We hear some things that aren't good about our church, and it angers me sometimes because there's so much good. These leaders are changing the world. So it's a unique model, but it's an effective and efficient model because we don't know what's needed in those areas, right? We can't come in from the United States and say each area is so different. And it's just been a blessing over these 21 years to see true transformation around the world. And I guess one of the biggest reasons that we see transformation is that Christ is in the center of all this development work we're working to do. Christ is right in the center of it. And that's what makes transformation, right? That's what makes it in our lives. And that's how we can impact the lives of the most vulnerable around the world. Can you tell I love it?
Yeah, just a little bit. I think so. I love that you're talking about how you are working with the leaders from the areas that you are going to, because I think that's also super empowering rather than us coming in and, you know, and being like, well, we can know what to do and this, and we'll just do this and we're going to leave. Whereas it's like, oh, what do you need? How can you help us, like, you know, rebuild whatever's needed in your community, which I think is really beautiful.
It is, and there's great development work happening secularly, you know, all around the world,
sure.
Right? But really, we're called as Catholics, as Christians, to do it God's way, which is always better, right?
Yes.
And that's addressing the whole person, right? The whole entire person, not just their material needs, but their spiritual needs. Their social needs, right? The political needs. And that's what the church does, right? As they reach out in the community, the diocese, through their local Caritas, that's what they're doing. But so many times, Cecil, the bishops don't have the funds. Mm-hmm. They barely have the funds to have a priest be able to provide mass in these very rural villages. So we want to come along and we consider them the heroes of our faith and support them and be able to build more homes all throughout Guatemala. We're doing a large housing program in Africa, many countries in Africa and in Guatemala. We're providing water all around the world, just really listening. Don't you think that's the key to change is really, really listening to what is needed from the community and honoring that? Right? It's a Catholic social principle of Catholic social teaching, subsidiarity.
Yes.
Right? So it's beautiful to watch it unfold and see the fruits of that. People's dignity is upheld, right? The community cares about one another when you do development work right and you provide that through the church. They're not just thinking of their needs. They're thinking of what's Cecil's needs, you know, what are others' needs in the community? I learned this in a powerful way. I don't know if you want me to share that story or not.
I'd love to hear it.
Years ago, I was very young, and I was working with, consulting with another international Catholic relief agency. And on day three, they asked me, will you go to Jamaica and see our work? And it's a surprise visit. You're going to go with one of the vice presidents and the partners don't know we're going. The difference in their model at the time was that they helped also government-run agencies, very much needed, you know, children with severe handicaps, the elderly, as well as they supported the sisters and the priests and so forth. And they provided food and bedding and housing. So we went to the first stop, which was a home for children with disabilities. They didn't know we were coming. And what I saw just changed my life course completely. I saw the children that we were providing food for and bedding and sheets literally were being housed outside and a slab of concrete cement that was about 50 by 20 with bar cells going up to the sky and no roof. And they had no clothes on and they were sitting in their own feces. And it was a terrible sight. I mean, any of us, it just is heartbreaking. And there was no food. Where was the food that was provided? It wasn't used properly. Where was the bedding? And, you know, there was one worker there. I'm sure that they weren't cared for either, but it was just horrific. And kind of the same scene at the next government-run agency, but with the elderly. You know, just the food was old and rotted by their bed, just awful. And I thought, get me out of here, Lord. Just please, please get me out of here. I don't even know how to process this. I was so devastated. Well, the last stop was an old age home. And that old age home was run by the sisters. And the same food that we gave to the other government-run agencies and the same bedding was lovingly used. I would want to be there if I was going to be placed in a home to support my health. I'd want to be there. And then these little sisters, about 5'3", I'm 5'10", 5'3", bring out these huge bags of rice that we had sent them. And we did a community feeding program. Mm. What that taught me is that, Michelle, I feel like the Lord said, there is no transformation without Christ in the center. There's no transformation without me in the middle. Now, I want you to go on and use their voices, because they certainly have voices, right? Use their voices in this experience to move forward. And so all these years later, God blessed me and placed me at a support leadership role, right? As president, you're supporting to do just that, to provide aid the way that God calls us to. And thus, it's given with that love that changes lives. And that's what we do. And Box of Joy is definitely part of that. On top of all this broader scope, Box of Joy is, it's a true gift. It's a true gift.
So, oh, that was amazing. Oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. I want to remind anyone who's just tuning in and wondering, you know, who is this talking about, this inspiring story? It's Michelle Sagarino, who is the president of Cross Catholic Outreach, and she is joining us on the interview of the week today to talk all about the good things that Cross Catholic Outreach does, and specifically about the upcoming Box of Joy. I don't know if campaign is the right word. Box of Joys that are coming up that you can join in on. And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I want to really just explain to anyone who's hearing this for the first time and has no idea what Box of Joy is and how on earth they can participate in it, which I think it's one of the greatest things that you can do with your friends, your family, especially as we're going into the months where we're preparing, you know, for the end of the year, we're preparing for the holidays, and it's a lot of bustle, but this is one of those things that we can do where we can really stop and help other people. And so talk a little bit about what Box of Joy is.
Well, of course, as we were traveling around the world and meeting these missionaries, helping with the housing and the water and all these very important things, one of the things that we really heard over and over again is that children never received Christmas gifts. They didn't even know what a gift is. As children here in the United States, like my kids, and I mean, they're grown up and have kids of their own, but as they were, you know, going to bed at night, they couldn't sleep out of the excitement to celebrate Jesus' birth and, of course, you know, receive gifts and mm-hmm. have that excitement. And then children in developing countries, they don't have that experience in Haiti and Guatemala and Malawi. many times they've never received a gift, and many of them can't even imagine escaping the poverty of hunger or the poverty of drinking water that makes you sick. And so we went back home, the CEO and myself, and we started talking to our staff, and we said, you know what? Let's do something about this. Our mission statements, mobilize the global Catholic Church to transform the poor in their communities spiritually and materially for the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's mobilize Catholics here in the United States. Let's give them a service project that can, they can be the hands and feet of Jesus, and let's get gifts out to kids. Let's do this. We have a huge shipping component of our normal all year long work. So we are used to shipping food all around the world, our metal roofing, our medicine. So we already had that in place, and so we started it. We said, let's do Box of Joy. The first year was in, we're going into our second decade. I just
realized that. Wow, that's exciting.
Our first year was 2014. We started with Archbishop Rohde, who was on our board, and he said, let's do this. And we had, I think, two dioceses, Palm Beach and his, and began to do it, 3,000 boxes. Now, we have, after all these years, after 10 years, we're going into our 11th year, 781,000 Box of Joy gifts have gone out to children in over 8 countries, Guatemala, Haiti, Peru, Honduras, El Salvador, Dominican Republic, and it has brought such hope and life to these children. And then 3,000 volunteers help us to do this every year. And I think it was like 1,200 parishes and schools and Knights of Columbus groups and NCCW groups joined us to participate just last year in this. So I think, I don't know, what do you, I think it's a blessing on both sides. Was it a blessing for your family to participate and to go out and to pack these gift boxes together?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was a highlight for me when I was younger, being able to go to the store and pick out, you know, little gifts that I could put inside this box and then sending it away. And, you know, I definitely wasn't the one with the money paying for these, but I felt the participation with my parents, you know, like getting that I got to do something and was sending it to someone possibly, you know, my age, you know, coming, or someone who's younger or older than me that I could send away. And I really enjoyed it. And I know it's been a thing that Dave's family has enjoyed doing together as well, because yeah, it is you mentioned, it's kind of like a twofold. It's a great thing for us to be able to do, to give some time of service, but it's also can be a community or family event, but then obviously a huge blessing to those who are going to receive it.
It so is, and it is that time of year again. I think it's maybe close to 80 days now before Christmas.
Oh my goodness,
and
yes.
This, I know, oh my gosh, hurry up, right? And so it's really time now for any parishes or groups, Knights of Columbus, et cetera, to be able to go to boxofjoy.org and sign up your group. What does that mean? The deadline is October 17th. If you sign up your group to participate and you say, I think we'll have 100, we will send you all the boxes. You fold them and put them together. We'll send you the posters, the brochures, a link on our website that gives you the gifts ideas of what to put in them. And then you, as the group leader, will then get your group engaged and share with them. Fill it with balloons or puzzles or inflatable soccer balls, or I personally like barrettes and t-shirts and all of that for children that really have never had a Christmas gift. And you can pick. You could pick a child, like you said, you did one for someone your age at the time. You can pick a girl or a boy, 2 to 4, 5 to 9, 10 to 14 is one of my favorites because they don't often get as much attention, right? So you can pick, and then you fill up your box. We ask that you put, we give you a little a donation envelope. We ask that you put $9 in that covers the shipping. And the $2 of that $9 helps with other programs that that missionary is doing. And then at the end of October, the 25th through November 2nd, we will send trucks to pick up those boxes all across the United States and bring them to our screening center in Miami, where we put a rosary and a story of Jesus in the box. And we make sure there's no chocolates or water bottles, filled water bottles, because that might leak. And then off they go on containers to all these countries.
Wow, that is so, so amazing. I just love how many pieces come together to make this happen. I know that's with a lot of the work that you all do, but this one in particular for something so special. For those who are listening, I'm going to remind you that the website is boxofjoy.org, boxofjoy.org, and that's where you can go and sign up for however many boxes you or your family, maybe a group at your parish would like to do. I was talking about possibly getting some of my young adults to do this as a group effort at my parish, and it's something that is a great activity if you're looking for something, a service project to be doing. But boxofjoy.org, when you talk about these going off in shipping containers and they go out, who are the people who actually get to go out and hand the boxes out?
Oh, very good question. So as I mentioned early on, Cross Catholic Outreach, we work with a lot of existing missionaries, priests, sisters. So these boxes are going to people that we work with in the past, we know. So they go out, they land in country, and then the missionaries pick them up. Oftentimes what happens is that the bishop or the priest will share a little story with the children, share a children's, lesson, and share that these gifts are coming from our Lord. That without him, we wouldn't love our neighbor. We wouldn't be able to love one another this much. They're coming from, people in the United States that care and love because of their love of the Lord. And then they'll have a big party and celebrate. And that, oh my gosh, Thistle, that is complete chaos and so much fun. So much fun.
As every Christmas should be, I think, a little bit of chaos. That's awesome.
Well, like count it down. One, three, two, one, open up your boxes. And they usually have dancing and singing and praising. It's just a beautiful experience. And sometimes we'll have mission groups from the United States that are in country, and they too will help pass out the boxes. But you're always thinking, I don't know how busy you are, but I am so, so busy. My children are a little bit older. I'm doing some boxes with my grandchildren, but there's also an option to go on boxofjoy.org. And you can hit the individual, I want to do a box, Box of Joy gift. And for $36, we will fill the box for you and then send it out. So that's a great way. If you're busy, we'll pack it with the toys or school supplies to go ahead and send it out too.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a good option, especially since, we're in the last few, bit of time before the date to sign up is going to hit us. It's October 17th. So definitely, if you don't think you're going to have enough time to fill the box yourself, that is a great option as well. Just a couple minutes remaining here with the president of Cross Catholic Outreach, Michelle Sagarino, and she has been talking all about the beautiful work that Cross Catholic Outreach does, and specifically about the Box of Joy campaign, which you still have a little bit of time to sign up and participate in. You can go to boxofjoy.org, boxofjoy.org, to sign up for however many boxes you or your family would like to do. It is $9, is that right, for cost, yes, for the box and the shipping, and then whatever the cost will be to fill it with some toys that will bless a child. And like Michelle mentioned, you can choose the age range, of the kid that you are going to put together a box for, so you can kind of know what you're going to get for them. So boxofjoy.org, and of course, if you just want to find out more about all the other work that Cross Catholic does, go to crosscatholic.org as well. And Michelle, in these final few minutes here, is there anything else that we haven't gotten a chance to mention yet that you would just like to highlight about Box of Joy or Cross Catholic Outreach?
I think I would just like to share one little boy's message. So first of all, so many children put a little message in the United States to children in the country, which is absolutely beautiful. And here's a message from a little boy who was only 9 years old in Guatemala. What I want to tell our brothers and sisters who bought us this gift is, may Jesus always continue to bless you wherever you go. May he always keep you in his heart. Mm-hmm. So I just want to close that you are impacting the faith and the fun and the experience of Christ's birth in such a big way by providing this gift. So I hope many go to boxofjoy.org today and sign their group up or do an individual box.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle, for everything that you are doing with Cross Catholic Outreach. Obviously, this is a small part of what you all do, but it's a really important and impactful part. So again, if anyone's listening, wants to support other things and other projects that Cross Catholic Outreach is doing, go to crosscatholic.org. And for Box of Joy, again, boxofjoy.org. The deadline is October 17th. So make sure that you sign up. And if you're running out of time, do the option where you can just pay for the box to be filled by them. And honestly, it's amazing that you all are doing this, and you have really, truly, I think, lived by your mission statement of mobilizing the global Catholic Church to kind of do this, because this is a great opportunity where we don't have to do all the heavy lifting, but we still get to help bring these little packages of joy to children around the world.
Well, thank you for being such a great ambassador for those in need. We love partnering with you. Thank you.
Of course. And thank you all so much who have been tuning in for the interview of the week here in North Texas. We have two of these every Saturday, so make sure that you tune in. And if you miss it, you can also go to the Guadalupe Radio Network app, and you can listen back to past episodes on our podcast. So it has a list of podcasts. Just go to the interview of the week there, and you can listen to it again. But again, want to thank Michelle Sagarino for joining us, the president of Cross Catholic Outreach, and the website boxofjoy.org, boxofjoy.org. Go ahead and help put a box together and bring joy to a child's face this Christmas. Thank you all so much for listening. This is Cecily Anderson, and until the next interview, I hope you have a blessed rest of your Saturday afternoon.
Do you know a fourth grade boy ready for a strong Catholic education? Cistercian Preparatory School's open house is Thursday, October 23rd. Cistercian offers rigorous courses in Catholic formation to boys 5th through 12th grade and meets 100% of demonstrated financial need. With 20 Cistercian monks teaching at the prep school, it's no wonder why Niche.com ranks Cistercian the number one Catholic high school in the state. Don't miss Cistercian's open house on Thursday, October 23rd. For more information or to schedule a tour, visit school.cistercian.org.
Our Lady of Lebanon Catholic Church is excited to announce its 26th annual Lebanese Food Festival. The Lebanese Food Festival will take place from Friday, October 3rd through Sunday, October 5th at Our Lady of Lebanon Catholic Church in Louisville. Celebrate the vibrant Lebanese cultural heritage at this popular family-friendly festival. Enjoy authentic Lebanese cuisine, lively entertainment, and fun activities. For more information on the 26th annual Lebanese Food Festival, visit dfwlebanesefoodfest.com.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the North Texas Interview of the Week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network on 1140 AM, our new station out in the Fort Worth Diocese, and also, of course, 910 AM KTH in the Dallas area and Collin County, and even over into Denton County as well. We've got the whole Metroplex covered with Catholic radio. And don't forget, also, you can tune in on your app. You can always go on your smartphone and download the GRN app and listen that way as well, literally across the world. Today, we are going to be talking about something that I think is very, very important for our local community and even beyond. And it is tied into the sanctity of life. And it is an event called Hike for Life that we have been promoting for many, many years. In fact, I think all the way from the beginning of Catholic radio here in North Texas. And I have in studio with me Tom Clark, who is the president of Hike for Life. He also serves as the diocesan pro-life chairman of the Diocese of Dallas for the Knights of Columbus. And he has brought in with him our dear friend, Father Jason Cargo. I almost said Father Dr. Jonathan Cargo, who is his twin brother, a totally different person. Father Jason Cargo, pastor of St. Mark the Evangelist Parish in Plano. They have a beautiful parish there and also a beautiful school as well. And he's a very busy priest, but he's also very supportive of Hike for Life, as we're going to find out during the course of this interview. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. Good to see you.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
All right. So, Tom, this is something that you have been doing for a long time. And it's like I said, since the beginning of me being involved in radio, I think at least 20 years you've been doing this. The Hike for Life goes back to 1973. How long have you been involved, and why is this such a passion of yours?
So I've been involved since 2001. So this is my 24th year. I was a hiker a couple years prior to that. And then the president of Hike for Life at the time was ready to be done. So he had served over 25, 26 years at that point, and so it was handed off to me. Mm-hmm. I was not prepared by any means.
Which made you a perfect candidate for the position.
I think that's, you know, that's the way God works, right? So I took that on, and then that eventually led into being the diocesan prolife chairman for the Knights, and then eventually for 19 years I served as the state prolife chairman for the Knights of Columbus here in Texas.
I want to, well, first of all, let everybody know that there are going to be three local Hike for Lives, and one of them actually was this morning, the October 4th in McKinney at St. Michael the Archangel Catholic Church. And so that one, I hope it all went well, and I'm sure it did. A couple of them coming up in Dallas at Bachman Lake Park on October 11th, which will be next Saturday morning. And then the following Saturday morning in Richardson Garland at Breckenridge Park, October 18th. So just kind of keep those in mind. I want to read a brief paragraph from the literature that you gave me, Tom, and then you can fill in the blanks about exactly what Hike for Life is and what the mission is. The Hike for Life is an event for the whole family to promote a culture of life and raise funds to support women's pregnancy resource centers, maternity homes, pro-life ministries. Participation can help save lives. The hike began in 1973 to raise awareness of the value and dignity of life. It followed the Supreme Court ruling known as Roe v. Wade, which legalized abortion in America. Of course, we know that in 2022, thanks be to God, that was overturned.
Yes.
So what else do you want to say about the hikes and how they've really helped this battle for life?
So I need to add a little asterisk to that. We also have one in Waxahachie. They're an independent.
Oh, okay.
That's on the 4th as well today, earlier. Weatherford, which is maybe part of your listening audience, is going to be on the 18th as well the Garland one. They are also an independent. And if we get some crazy stretch all the way out to El Paso, we got one on the 25th out there. So Hike for Life was originally just for awareness. It started by the Knights of Columbus as a response to Roe versus Wade, and they held it 1 year, and they just kept holding. The crowds kept getting larger, and eventually turned it into a fundraising for local pregnancy resource centers. And
yeah.
White Rose is one of them. They're about to celebrate their 40th anniversary, so we've been teaming up with them for a good long time now.
Yeah, they're coming in tomorrow for an interview, in
very
fact.
Good.
Yeah,
they're
great. It was very important to you that Father Cargo come in, because he's been so supportive. And before we ask him about his support and why it's important, why don't you just talk about how he's kind of like the... He's kind of a quintessential example of a pastor who really gets it and helps support this, doesn't he? Isn't he?
Yes, absolutely, 100%. Father Cargo has been most generous with his time and with his support of Hike for Life. And I'd like to do a little shout out to Carrie Balla, who is a parishioner there at St. Mark's, where Father is a pastor. She helps with their life center that they have, and she came up with an idea a couple years ago that they would have basically a Hike for Life weekend, if you will, and they invited a lot of the pro-life ministries to be there, White Rose, Bloom, a few others, and to expose more of the parish to that, and it's just turned into an avalanche as far as the number of people coming and the funds raised. So he's done an outstanding job, and we cannot thank him enough.
Yeah. And Father, I know you can only do so many things. You can only be involved in so many ministries. Why is this so important? And maybe you can add on what Tom has already said, what's going on over at St. Mark's.
Absolutely. So I think the biggest thing is that Hike for Life has this long established tradition within our diocese. It was the first pro-life event that I went to in 1989 when I was a little seventh grade or eighth grade boy, and a friend invited me to this walk around White Rock Lake, and I didn't really know what it was, but heard some messaging about life, and then went for a little run, and so it was the very first thing that I did participated in the pro-life arena. And of course, you know, my heart is to be able to help people understand that life is sacred from conception to natural death, right? And every aspect of it. What I love about Hike for Life, there's a public witness part of it. It's not a huge public witness, but there's a public witness being in the parks, walking, hearing the message, being with other people who are pro-life and wanting to be united in that. And then, of course, raising funds. And it's not just for one organization or entity, but for all these different entities that are working hard to raise awareness and support life throughout the diocese. So, you know, whether it's maternity homes or whether it's pregnancy centers or whether it's media outlets or other means through which the message of life is being presented and people are helped through these agencies. That's what Hike for Life provides, right? So it's like this umbrella of source of witness as well as funding.
I was just thinking about all the things that go into a Hike for Life that are so appealing. First of all, the most important is you're raising funds to support life. You get outdoors. You get
I love to
be,
the outdoors.
Be with people. You get some exercise. I mean, what's not to like? I mean, this has got all the things that we need, you know, which we most of us don't get enough of is time with our fellow men and being outdoors and getting some exercise. And then it's all for a good cause. And Father, the thing that Tom was talking about that you did at St. Mark's was this. Tell us, and he mentioned the lady at the parish who got this all organized. This is something that can be replicated, of course, at other parishes. Can you go into a little bit more detail about how this came about and what exactly happened at your parish?
Oh, absolutely. So St. Mark has long been a center for the culture of life. And so we've been really focusing on, even before I arrived, there's been a long tradition of this. And so when I arrived, I wanted to enhance that even that much more. So one of the first things you see is our culture of life display or center as you enter into our narthex and as you're making your way into the church. And then, of course, we've had this long tradition of having a baby shop where we give out free supplies to women and mothers in need and families in need so that they can take care of their young ones. But I wanted to enhance, I think we constantly as clergy, we need to constantly be looking at how we can enhance the people's minds to life. And help them understand why this is such an important issue for us to pray for and work towards. And so the idea about love them both, have an event within a parish that that after Mass where people can experience the message that is found on Hike for Life, where people can encounter all the different ministries. And then maybe they're not able to go physically to the hike, but they can give as if they're going. And so that's basically what we've been implementing. And so it's very simple, a pulpit talk at the end of Mass, maybe a prayer of the faithful, advocating for life, maybe a little bit of the pastor support, but then have all these different groups in the narthex afterwards and with the ability for people to donate. And it's been fantastic. It's put me on the leaderboard a number of years in a row.
So, well, there should be a little competitive aspect to this, I think. You know,
St. Mark is always going to win. We're going to come out on top. No,
yeah.
No. I mean, it's great. It's wonderful just to be able to help provide life. And this would not be able to happen without Carrie and Ryan Bowla. They have a wonderful story about their daughter, Zoe, who had trisomy 13, and they chose to have this beautiful girl and care for that girl for a number of years. And this has allowed them to, since then, really promote the culture of life because they see that little girl gave to them so much love at a time when all their doctors were saying, no, you should not have this baby. And so they want to help other people realize that every single life is precious, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly. So, Tom, the events that we talked about, the two today, and then, of course, the next couple of weekends, one in Dallas and a couple on the 18th, and Richardson, Garland, and Weatherford, possibly El Paso after that, that's always been the model. But what Father's talking about is a parish-based event. Now, is that something that you're actively working for other parishes to do? Are there any other parishes currently doing this?
At the moment, no. But we have I love them both, and Father referred to that just a moment ago. And that is basically a parish initiative. Not everybody wants to have a hike or can have a hike, you know, in smaller towns, for example. So we can do a pulpit talk. And the part that Carrie has helped with, she has added the ministries to this so that when people walk out of church, there's all these different ministries. There's maternity homes and there's the pregnancy resource centers and a few other items there. And it just gives people an easy way to expand their knowledge on pro-life. It's Hike for Life. I've always called it you know, pro-life 101. It's absolutely basic. Mm-hmm. A lot of good people, and I didn't know that about you, Father, that you came in 1989. That's wonderful. But a lot of the parish, or excuse me, pro-life leaders throughout Dallas and elsewhere got their start at a hike.
Yeah.
I can name several of them. And very important people, and Father being one of them. And it's just fantastic to know that it's a simple concept, not complicated. You get out, you enjoy yourself, and it leads to some wonderful things. We have no idea how many lives we've touched.
So if somebody's listening right now and they're like, okay, I want to do one of these ones coming up in the next couple of weeks, yep, in Dallas, yep, on October 11th, and Breckenridge, that's Bachman Lake Park, Breckenridge Park on the 18th, Weatherford on the 18th. Mm-hmm. What do they do? Do they have to go out and raise money? Do they give money? Do they just come and walk? What's exactly involved?
I'm going to say all of the above.
Okay.
So if you know, some folks don't like to register, they just don't. It helps us out because we can plan for snacks and you know, if we have to have more parking control and help assistance with that, we can have that advanced knowledge. That's great. How many shirts to order, that sort of thing. But if they just want to come out, they certainly can do that. But the best thing is to go to hikeforlifetexas.com. And there they can choose whatever hike they wish to go to. And then there's a registration page that's attached to each one of those events. And they can sign up and or they can just sponsor. They can go searching for maybe their parish priest is one of the people, Father Guadagnoli over St. Monica's, who will probably challenge you some, Father, is always there for you to sponsor your parish priest. There's lots of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not on the list, then you can always go and ask your parish priest if he would consider doing that. It's a great thing.
How long is the hike itself? How is it? Can you decide how long you hike, or does everybody do
yes.
the same? And it's a walk. It's not like a 5K or a run.
So
you just leisurely walk.
Yeah,
right?
We start off with an opening ceremony that we call. We have the Pledge of Allegiance. We do a quick prayer, and then we have a couple of pro-life speakers that will address the crowds, and they're different at every hike. And then we ask the people to begin walking, and the courses are laid out. And we ask for a 5K, which is 3.5 miles. But mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people will do one loop and be done. You know, I'm not there
yeah.
counting. So, and that's fine. But back when Father went on his first hike, that was like a 20-mile journey or something along those lines. It was
really?
Very,
oh,
yeah,
wow.
It was it was like 10 miles one direction.
Used to be more intense.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
So, but we've toned it down. It's a great family event, and we try to make it as much fun as we can.
It says here in this brochure, you're supporting the life-saving missions of these fine organizations when you participate in Hike for Life. The Catholic pro-life community is mentioned in My Shoes, Bella House, Mater Maria, St. Joseph Helper, White Rose, and Option Line as well. Mm-hmm. I know we've also benefited
yes.
from it. And many
yes.
times you've given us a check in which we support. We are thankful. And I know, but these are more the direct aid of the
right.
ones that are helping the women. So how do you choose, and how, you know, do you determine who gets what, and how is the distribution? How does that happen?
So I have to say that when I first took this over, there was really only one, and that was White Rose. And then as Bloom, which was Birth Choice a few years back, when they came on board, we started assisting them. We did not have maternity homes, 8-10 years ago, and so now we're fortunate we have several. So we are constantly working on growing their the amounts that we are able to provide to them. The only one outlier that's there is probably Option Line. A lot of people don't hear about that. Option Line is a pregnancy hotline that a person can call from any parts of the United States, and they can find the closest pregnancy resource center that's been identified as 100% pro-life. You know, there's no questions there. And they can get them in front of counselors, you know, if whether it's in Tampa, Florida, or Los Angeles, or up in New York. They can help get you in front of somebody. Locally, we have the 972 baby due number that ties into the White Rose, and they can assist you locally.
We were talking about Hike for Life, over 50 years of helping moms and saving babies, the 2025 hikes that are scheduled that you can participate in include next Saturday, October 11th at Dallas's Bachman Lake Park. And then the following weekend, October 18th, Richardson Garland area, Breckenridge Park, Weatherford that same weekend. Yep. And yeah, we are 1140 a.m. station really hits Weatherford really well. So we definitely have coverage there. The website to register and for more details, hikeforlifetexas.com, hikeforlifetexas.com. I have in studio with me Tom Clark, president of Hike for Life, and also the diocesan pro-life chairman of the Knights of Columbus, along with Father Jason Cargo, pastor of St. Mark the Evangelist Parish in Plano. And Father, as a pastor, how has the overturning of Roe v. Wade changed the way you speak about pro-life? Because I think in some people's minds, it's kind of like, high five time, we won, let's move on. But I know that's not the case. And so how has your personal, advocacy of life changed or altered a little bit since Roe v. Wade was overturned?
That's a great question, Dave. Most of the work of the pastor is to help move ministries and move the minds and hearts of people towards what is most important, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ and the life that he brings. I think of John 10:10 when Jesus says, "I've come that you might have life and life to the full," or life in abundance, right? So, I think my messaging when I'm preaching, I've never shied away from preaching about the difficult topics. And so my messaging has always been about the healing of our culture and healing of women's from the scourge of abortion. And I think since the overturning of Roe v. Wade here in Texas, obviously we don't have the clinical abortion centers, thanks be to God, but other states do. And other states are doing abortion and as late as possible and have some of the most ruthless practices. And so we need to continue to raise awareness within our faithful here in Texas of this reality in other parts of the nation. And also, chemical abortions are a huge deal now. And so raise awareness there. I think the bishops have said very clearly that we are to walk with women in need. And one of their documents that they came out, the Conference of Bishops, asked pastors to really highlight that. And so I think at St. Mark especially, we do talk about how do we assist women who are in that place where they might be afraid or they might not feel like they have support so that they can have the ability to have a child for life. So the message is still the same. It's just we're moving and motivating people in slightly different ways, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Father. Tom, in the time that we're remaining with just a few minutes, I want to just recap what we're talking about, what's coming up, how people can get involved. And also one of the things that I think we can emphasize is that this is certainly something for all ages.
Oh, yes.
It doesn't really eliminate anybody.
No.
I mean, if you're 80, you could do this. And if you're 10, you could do this.
Yes.
If you're 5 or if you're 6 months in a stroller, you can do this.
Absolutely.
Right? But you ought to probably bring somebody with you if you're 6 months.
Every step is a prayer, so I invite people to bring their pups out, and they're cheating when they do that, but that's okay. but the best thing about Hike for Life, and tapping off of what Father just said, is this provides people with some face-to-face abilities to speak to the ministries, the people who are really, they're at ground zero. They're dealing with these different issues, social issues, I don't want this baby issues, all sorts of things every day. That's not my ministry. My ministry is to try to help keep them open and going. And those ministries are at these hikes. And so you can ask them all the questions you want, and you can you'll get good rock solid answers. Lots of priests there. We used to have a Hike for Life down in Brownsville, and every year it turned into priests were there, and all of a sudden people were going to confession. You never know what's going to happen at a hike. It's always wonderful though. It's been a 24 year wonderful ride for me. And I hope to continue for many more years.
You mentioned El Paso as a possibility. And you just mentioned Brownsville, which is way down south. Yeah. Most of these clearly are in North Texas, the ones that we're talking about here.
Yes.
Expansion in years to come, is that a big goal of yours to expand across the state?
It is. It's my intention to retire from my full-time job within the next year, if possible. And then I'll be partnering with some other folks that are opening up pregnancy resource centers in underserved areas of Texas. And I think it's a good dovetail for Hike for Life. I think we'll be able to help them out a little bit.
And are you in need of any volunteers? Or it's probably an all-volunteer-run organization, I'm
100%.
Guessing.
100%. There is no one that receives any salary or stipend from Hike for Life. We work for the babies, just like you. I get a T-shirt. I'm excited about those. And that's pretty much my salary right there.
well, thanks so much, Tom. Thanks for what you do. Tom Clark, president of Hike for Life. Also, as I mentioned a couple of times, diocesan pro-life chairman of the Knights of Columbus. The Knights of Columbus are just amazing men and have done so much good work in this area. And Father Cargo, thank you again for being here as well. They always say people listen to priests. You know, a lay person can encourage, but when there's a priest encourages, it just seems to carry more weight. So maybe we can just take a minute and you can speak to our listeners personally and just encourage them to go to that website and sign up, hikeforlifetexas.com. We got several my hikes coming up in the coming weeks.
Absolutely. I'll be at the October 18th hike in Breckenridge. I find it so exciting to be able to see and talk to a variety of different people. You see young mothers with strollers, you see teenagers wanting to run, and everyone in between. So it's a wonderful opportunity, and supporting all the good that the church is doing through these pro-life organizations. And we want people to be able to experience the fullness of life that Christ has for them. We want babies to be able to breathe the breath of the air that each and all of us breathe. And we want moms to feel supported, dads to be encouraged. So, support Hike for Life. Maybe you'll go on and you'll sponsor me. Who knows? No, sponsor those other priests. We have dozens of priests there. They need to catch up with me, right? So go and sponsor the other priests, your
have
favorite
mercy.
Priests.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you have a 15-second blessing that you can give?
I would
give?
Be glad to. So we pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we praise you, love you, and adore you. You have given us your Son so that we may have life and life to the full. We ask that you may pour forth your blessing, goodness upon all who are listening. And I pray God's blessing to be upon you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Jason Cargo and also Tom Clark with Hike for Life. Please go to that website, hikeforlifetexas.com. And thank you for Teresita and Sarah for running the board today. This has been the Interview of the Week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us for this week's KATH 910 AM Interview of the Week. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Catholic news and information pertinent to North Texas Catholics. Please join us again next week at this same time for another KATH 910 AM Interview of the Week. Thanks for listening to KATH 910 AM Frisco, Dallas-Fort Worth. Catholic radio for your soul in North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Heard also at grnonline.com and on your smartphone.
If we must reverence nature's design for consensual sex, then why is it okay to not reverence nature's design for